Welcome to McGuire on Wrestling.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's give the people what they want. Professional wrestling.
With Mike McGuire.
The happiest Canadian camper in the world.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hi, thanks so much for being here this week. We've got a jam-packed show for you. Very excited to have special guest, the legendary Savio Vega is going to be on the show. He's touring across Canada soon with CWE Canada. Plus, my home promotion, Dungeon Wrestling. Just got back from Calgary yesterday after Dungeon Wrestling at the Dome. It was a bit of a personal dream come true, getting to ring announce and be a part of a wrestling show that happened during a Calgary Hitmen game. This past Friday, they lost, unfortunately, to the Red Deer Rebels, which is the WHL team from where I grew up in Red Deer. But nevertheless, it was a complete unbelievable moment to be in that building, the same building where, of course, In Your House Canadian Stampede was, and also the same building where the Calgary Kid would defeat Eugene for a contract on a pole match, which of course ended up being The Miz. Okay, maybe the stature of the history of that building is a little skewed. Nevertheless, cool place to be. So thankful to Dungeon Wrestling again for the opportunity just to be a part of this thing, and to the Calgary Hitmen for putting on a great show, a great game, and I think everybody had a great time. So most importantly, big ups to everybody there. The matches were fun, and we're getting ready for a show I'll tell you about in just a bit here. If this is your first time checking out McGuire on Wrestling, every week we do one thing, and that's talk about pro wrestling, but we do it in a bunch of different ways. Sometimes it's like today with special guests. Other times it's lenient on your feedback, and sometimes it's just a schmoz of everything. But nevertheless, we always give it to you for free every week. If you subscribe to this podcast network, you will get this show with no paywall ever. On top of that, you're also going to receive two other shows. There's TSC, The Squared Circle, which comes from Andy Evans out in the UK. That drops every midweek, and then every Saturday, just like yesterday, Mitch and Dimitri, my co-commentators in Dungeon, they come out with you with a show called The Alternate Commentary Table. And I guarantee it's one of the funniest, most loose, let's not take this stuff too seriously because it's still just pro wrestling shows that you'll listen to, and they come up with the most random things. And it's a ton of fun to listen to. So check out those shows. You can find it all, McGuireShow.com. If you do want to rep the show, if you want to support the brands, what we're doing, you can head to McGuireShow.com and check out the Team MOW merch store. This is a passion project for all of us involved, and we're so grateful that you subscribe and listen to and download the shows every week. We really, really do appreciate it. If you want to help out another way for free, a 5-star rating, leaving a positive comment, or really any comment, wherever you download your podcast is also a huge help, and that doesn't cost you a dime. But thank you so much for being here either way and listening to the show. If you'd like to reach out to me, you can find me anytime on all the socials at McGuire Show. You can also join the Team MOW, McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page, and you can email me directly if you got any questions or any ideas about anything, or if you got something you want to get announced on here, you want to do a collab, you want to do a sponsorship, McGuireShow@yahoo.com, and you can reach myself and the audience directly. Coming up this week, the WrestleMania Night 1 main event is set, and it's a tag team match, player. The Rainmaker is officially All Elite, with an extra bit of Elite on the side. Danielson and Ospreay set a dream match for AEW Dynasty. Sting's last match is in the books, but the question is, was it the best last match of all time? Plus, Puerto Rican legend Tio Savio Vega will be joining us as he gets ready to tour across the Great White North. Mike Sempervivi from Wrestling Observer Live and the Wrestling News will also be here this week. But first, let's take you through some of the top stories from the past 7 days. Here is the 5 count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Well, as you've probably heard by now, the WrestleMania card is taking shape, including double duty for both men's world champions. This past Friday on SmackDown, as the clock was winding down on the broadcast, the much-anticipated tag team between The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins was officially announced. Now, the stipulation sees Cody either facing Roman Reigns the next night under, quote, bloodline rules, or with no bloodline involvement at all, if he and Rollins win the match. Now, in a related note, Seth Rollins made his in-ring return since his ACL tear this past January. Rollins tagged with Cody Rhodes last night in a match against Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa at a house show in Alexandria, Louisiana. Speaking of The Rock, if you want to see more of him this week, he's on the Oscars tonight, and tomorrow you can look for him on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Well, this past Wednesday, AEW declared a new season for Dynamite with a new set, new logos, and a new face on the roster as Kazuchika Okada made his AEW signed debut. Okada came out to seemingly make the save for Eddie Kingston against Nicholas and Matt Jackson. However, he would then align himself with the Elite. Okada's arrival has been anticipated for some time, and with AEW Big Business taking place this Wednesday, Mercedes Moné is also the latest star to originally appear in New Japan that is expected to be a part of AEW this week. Last night on AEW Collision, another dream match was also booked as Will Ospreay accepted the challenge from Bryan Danielson for a match at AEW's new pay-per-view, Dynasty.
What do you say? Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay at AEW Dynasty. Yes, bruv.
AEW Dynasty takes place on April 21st in St. Louis, Missouri. Shout out to my home promotion, Dungeon Wrestling, out of Calgary, Alberta. We are less than 3 weeks away from their next show, which also returns to streaming pay-per-view through hnlive.ca. Now, this past Friday night, it was Dungeon Wrestling at the Dome, which featured three matches during the Calgary Hitmen home game at the Calgary Scotiabank Saddle Dome. But it was also a chance to promote the Unfinished Business 2 show, which will be live next door at the Victoria Pavilion, the home of Stampede Wrestling for so many years. If you can't make the Good Friday show live in Calgary, your best bet is to stream the show for just $11.99 Canadian. You can book that stream in advance by following the links at dungeonwrestling.ca. Congratulations going out to Tennille Dashwood and Mike Rallis, also known as Emma and Riddick Moss from WWE. They are now married. The ceremony took place in Hawaii, which is the best midpoint they could find between Tennille's home of Australia and Rallis' home of Minnesota. Also, congratulations going out to Dirty Dom Mysterio and his longtime girlfriend, Marie Juliette. The best part about footage making rounds online from that wedding is when Dominic went to make a speech to the guests at the reception, and they gave him an appropriate reaction as a nod to Dirty Dom.
Thank you, everyone.
I think somebody needs to tell the DJ they need to lower his microphone even more. And the early numbers are coming in for AEW Revolution this past Sunday. In an earlier report, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer estimates between 170,000 and 176,000 pay-per-view buys. If those numbers hold true, that would make Revolution this past week the third largest buy rate in AEW's pay-per-view history. The show itself had over 16,000 in attendance and surpassed a $1 million gate. Mike Sempervivi from the Wrestling News is standing by to join us this week, as well as that chat with Savio Vega. But first, 11 years ago today, an ECW original would go on to win his first world championship, this time as a singles wrestler. Do you remember who that was, or better yet, the bizarre circumstances around it? That story and Mike Sempervivi on the way next.
This is McGuire on Wrestling.
You got to stream the alternate commentary table. Every single Saturday, it's brought to you on the McGuire on Wrestling feed. I'm one half of your hosts, Demetra Carolis, and I'm here with my partner, Mitch Hondris. Mitch, what is the alternate commentary table?
It's simple. It's the perspective of wrestling from the other side of the railing, the real fans.
That's right. The perspective that you need. You might have a little bit of fun, too. The alternate commentary table. Subscribe free now to the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Cha-cha! Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
Thank you so much for being here. It was today, March 10th, or Mario Day if you're celebrating, 2013, that TNA Wrestling held lockdown from the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. Now, the main event from that show saw Jeff Hardy defending the TNA World Heavyweight Championship against Bully Ray. At the time, this was basically supposed to be a babyface versus babyface match. Bully Ray was romantically involved with Hulk Hogan's daughter, Brooke. The Aces and Eights faction were running around causing problems. All this stuff just made sense in TNA, I guess. Anyway, after involvement in the cage match from Aces and Eights, it would be revealed that Bully Ray was actually the leader of the faction, but most importantly, he used their interference to win his first major singles World Wrestling Championship.
I am the president of the Aces and Eights! And I am the TNA World Heavyweight Champion!
Always thrilled to have this guy join us, Mike Sempervivi from the Wrestling News, also Wrestling Observer Live. You got like, what, 30, 40 shows under your belt right now? You're a busy guy.
I do, 74 jobs.
Yeah.
Highly influenced by that West Indies skit they used to do on In Living Color, where it's like, what are you talking about? I got 14 jobs. Like, that's how many podcasts I'm doing right now. I cannot help myself. I have to be all in the professional wrestling at all times.
You only got 9 jobs? What are you doing with 9 jobs?
I actually got to think about this. Like, Wrestling Observer Live, you got the Wrestling News every day, got the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, which you can find at WrestlingObserver.com.
Yep.
In a little while, I'll be recording with my friends at the Black Wrestling Podcast. I'm a member of their Patreon, and I got a show on there as well, too, Bulls in the China Shop with my friend Vin Forte. Then, of course, the Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast. It is coming out intermittently now, but it's going to be on a more regular basis soon. At least I hope so. I'm working on an Ole Anderson piece right now for that Patreon, which you can find at Patreon/Mid-Atlantic Podcast. So, yes, I have things to do, that is for sure. I'm always looking for more, which is why I'm here today, filling in for Dave again. I love it when Dave takes a day off, which is very rare, because it allows me to come in here and talk to you, Mike.
Well, again, love having you on, man, and a very interesting week in wrestling, especially zoning in on a lot of the stuff that you really pay attention to when it comes to the Japanese side of things, also when it comes to that impact on North America. It's no secret now, New Japan in a big state of change, a big state of transition. They've lost a few names over the last year or so. And then also AEW picking up those names, doing things with them, and now North America getting to see what they're capable of. So I do want to go down there. Before we go any further, though, I haven't talked to any about it on a podcast yet. I want your thoughts on Sting's last match.
I thought it was tremendous. I thought the whole presentation, I thought everything from pillar to post, when it came to the pre-match and the video packages that they had put together leading into it, all the way to the end, maybe not to the end of the broadcast because they cut his speech off, but with how it ended, look, I'm a Sting fan. I grew up a Sting fan. I watched him in Mid-South. I watched UWF get bought and then become a big star for Jim Crockett Promotions. And I saw him just have to deal with so much WCW stuff over the years that it's like, man, this guy is never truly going to get his due with how big of a star that people like me think that he is and how ingrained he is in our wrestling fandom. And then TNA rolls around.
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be a spot here, and he ends up staying for several years there. You know, as the story goes, he kept wanting to retire, and Dixie Carter kept throwing money at him, and thank God she did, because it kept him relevant, and that led to the WWE thing, where it's like, we never thought we'd see Sting in WWE. It didn't go the way that Sting fans would have wanted it to go, and I think a lot of people rolled their eyes at that and went, oh, God, is this going to be how Sting ends up going out? This is his retirement. This is going to be the last time we see him. And then AEW comes to fruition. And for all of the pros and cons of Tony Khan, he is a wrestling fan. He was a WCW fan. And he likes seeing people that he liked get treated with respect. He likes seeing people he liked come out on top in the end. And to me, sure, you can go by the old wrestling way of doing things, and Sting should have lost, looked at the lights for his last match, and put somebody over. Now, during the time he was there, he could have put somebody over. Maybe you could have done that, but guess what? Now that it got to the end, no, he's not putting anybody over in the city of Greensboro, and I'm happy that he was able to go out on top. He's one of the last wrestling heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is, at least for right now. When Bryan Danielson retires, he'll get the same thing. We see Bryan Danielson be a heel, and he could be in there with the biggest baby face in the entire world, and people are still going to cheer Bryan Danielson because they can't not cheer Bryan Danielson because just, you know his whole career. You know all that stuff. It's more than the wrestling. He won at professional wrestling when professional wrestling didn't want him to. And with Sting as the white hat after all those years, sure, he did Joker Sting. Sure, he was a heel in the NWO, all that sort of stuff. But was he really? Nah, he wasn't. So we finally have the last of the white hats who gets to go out and he doesn't get shot down like John Wayne at the end. He gets to ride off into the sunset. And regardless of what you thought about the entirety of the match and the moves that were done and the things that were done in it, I erase all of that and just look at Sting standing there as a conquering hero going out to end his career.
Taking the corner, holding up a belt. I think that's the image. And you know, any great wrestler will tell you it's all about the finish. Now, the one thing that everybody's on about, one way or the other, what are your thoughts on the Darby Allin spot?
Would he be Darby Allin without that spot? You know, would he be Darby Allin without doing something crazy? You take it for what it is. Darby Allin is one of the most believable professional wrestlers in the world to me because I believe everything that he does. Number one, he hits it with a sharpness and a crispness when it comes to some of his moves
right,
that other guys don't. But you take what he is with what he does, and I'm not going to be diving off the top of a ladder through a glass pane. I don't think that's a good idea. I would not have booked that in the match. I didn't think that was necessary. Darby Allin thought it was necessary, and people who watched Darby Allin would have been wondering why he did not do something crazy in that match. So
I just wish that it was something crazy that didn't end up leaving him looking like a, you know, a pincushion that was spilling out. Like, it was almost... it's almost like the cartoon character that gets shot with a machine gun and then takes a drink and, you know, all the drink spews out of him afterwards.
You think about what could have gone wrong in that match. And I hate to do this, to be negative, but it's like,
yeah,
look at what Sting has done. He's 64 years old, whatever he is. Can you imagine? Okay, that's always a risk anyway. And then you're watching in his last match. Please don't let anything happen.
Yeah.
Then Ric Flair's in there, taking double super kicks to the head. This is a guy that had 5% of his heart, you know, to be used a couple of, he was dead on the table. People were reporting that he was dead. Now this is what he's doing. And then that spot from Darby, if something would have happened there, and this is where I do have some pauses, because like, you took a great moment with Sting that could have been very bad. Because I don't care how tempered the glass was or if it was partially gimmicked at points or what. The fact is, a lot of damage could have come either from the glass or because of how he's landing through chairs flat on his back on the floor. And in that case, if he's a paraplegic afterwards, boy, we're not going to be remembering Sting's retirement match because he went out in the white hat. We'd be remembering it because Darby Allin killed himself.
You know, I think gruesome as that whole thing sounds, I think that's also probably the most eloquently I've heard it described. Like, when I was talking to a guy that was at the show, we did a review pod of a in-person view. We didn't do like the whole match by match blow, but this guy was actually there, and I asked him about it, and he was like, well, what else do you remember from that match? I said, I remember a lot of things from that match. You know, I remember Sting putting the Bucks in a double scorpion deathlock. I remember the Suns doing the splat. You know, for me, that memorable moment, if you want to call it that, was a little out of place. And because of the risks that you say, and I always think of it from a risk reward thing. And I get that. And I'm not knocking Darby Allin for wanting to be Darby Allin. That level of extreme hardcore has never been my thing. You know, I mean, I never like to see the guys actually trying to go out and wound themselves for the sake of a pop, but that's personal preference. But what you just said about that, what if something had gone wrong? And so I just hope that in the future, when we have more farewell matches, that people don't use that as the template of what you need to do in a farewell match for somebody. So let's move forward here because there are some things to talk about. One of the things I did want to get your opinion on is, of course, Kazuchika Okada making his debut in AEW. He comes out with the Eddie Kingston buck spot, and he is now a heel. It looks like they're setting up Eddie versus Okada. Is this the way to go?
I think this is the way to go. And I think there's a lot of fans that forget. It's been a long time now, Mike. It's been 9 years, 10 years, I think, since Okada failed against Tanahashi at the Tokyo Dome, and he broke down in tears. That was the story, was he started to cry. And what people forget is, before that, he was the cockiest guy on two legs in New Japan. He was the guy that came in from Mexico. We'll forget about that whole time that he spent in TNA, but he came in from Mexico with this new attitude. He had the blonde hair, the big robe. He's the rainmaker now. All the money's here. He comes in with Ghetto. That's what he was. And in the last year in New Japan, yeah, the attention has not been on New Japan the way it was a couple of years ago. So there may have been people that missed Kazuchika Okada. I'm not saying going back to a full-scale heel, but his attitude was there. He was a crusty old veteran who was not going to be bothered by some of these schmucks that he has to deal with in New Japan and Noah. He was above everybody else. So this, as a part of his character, fits perfectly. And he's got a real personal relationship with the Young Bucks. They're the reason, really, that he's there. He's one of the reasons, certainly a big reason, that he's now come over to the States. So I think it fits perfectly. You have Will Ospreay coming in at the same time. You knew what the reaction was going to be for him. They definitely gave it to you every time he's gone out there. He's going to be a babyface. So when you have Ospreay right there, why not have Kazuchika Okada right there? He doesn't speak a whole lot of English, not enough to cut promos on a regular basis. You want him to get heat. Well, who's more perfect right now to get heat than the Young Bucks? So I think this combination with Kenny Omega out, with Hangman Page kind of pushed to his own thing right now, I think this is the perfect scenario for Kazuchika Okada to come in.
Well, I do say the EVP's look does work a little better with a tall, bleached blonde guy in the middle of the two, but that's another story for another day.
It explains why they had those robes now. Because it's like, well, why are they wearing robes all of a sudden? Now we know.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Sticking with AEW just for a moment here, what do you think of the new season of Dynamite?
I think these seasons, when it comes to television, these gimmicks are ridiculous. You know, I'm still used to the fall season. Now I got to get into the spring season when it comes to professional wrestling now.
In the middle of whatever month season.
this used to be sweeps week back in the day. Isn't that what February used to be for back? But I don't know. They got a new set. Cool. You know, they went back to the two tunnel setup. I was never a huge fan of that, but people obviously like that. People like the name TNA, so they brought that back. Right. So, you know, this is a very small thing, but, you know, lit it up a little bit, different colors, all that sort of stuff. And when you got Okada coming in, you got Ospreay coming in, you have Mercedes Moné on the way in too. At least we assume she's going to be in Boston for big business. So with all those folks coming in, I guess this would be the time to have a new season. I'll be honest with you. After the Devil storyline and all that sort of stuff, after the way World's End went, okay, we had a little bit of a reset here in January. We got to push a little of that out of the way. So if it was going to be time for a new season, I guess now would be perfect for it.
I do like the two giant selfie lights at the end of the tunnel. That's that's a new twist. But
and all the colors too. I was wondering if Alvarez was going to have an attack the same way he did when NXT 2.0 happened, but it didn't end up being that dramatic.
Not that bad. Okay, let's transition over to the fight world for a second here. If you want to call it the fight world, I don't know what to call this. The argument is that this is what sports entertainment is these days. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
Are you old enough to remember the real burgeoning of MMA in Japan?
Where we would have... I remember MMA's crossover into North America, but not so much the Japanese side of things.
Before that, we would get a lot of things like on New Year's Eve, we would get a K-1 fighter facing off against this guy, Bobby Olagun, who was a guy who trained in MMA and trained in kickboxing, but was a host of a comedic show. And we would have people like that in. And it's funny that over time, you know, boxing in this country has declined. The number one fighter in the world, arguably, is Naoya Inoue, who's in Japan right now. And, you know, we've seen, and just during the pandemic years, this is what this feels like to me, is like we just need some programming to get out there. And granted, yeah, boxing is in a bad spot. This is not a boxing match. This is an exhibition that's being put on by the Paul Brothers promotional company. It's a gimmick. It's just like Tyson and Roy Jones was. It's just like Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson. I mean, that's all this is. This is Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, where Floyd could have knocked him out a zillion times, but he let him go 11 rounds or however long the damn fight went so he could give some people some excitement and some exhibition stuff. That's all this is. And it's amazing the shape that Mike Tyson is in at 58 years old. I mean, Jake Paul, it's not like he can't knock out people on the street. It's not like he can't actually knock out maybe a couple boxers even, you know, if he really was actually fighting real fights. Yeah. But this is what it is. It's a way for Netflix to get a bunch of eyeballs on him, and they can talk about, oh my God, look how many people watch this thing. But I would love to know who's going to make money in this whole exchange. I mean, I would love to know how Netflix is actually going to make money, and I'd love to know how many people are actually going to tune in and watch. Because at this point in the game, yeah, it's Mike Tyson, you had Paul, big names, all that sort of stuff. But like, other than, you know, again, we'll see what happens in the last couple of days and see, you know, what the vibe is like and if people are shaken up to watch this thing and to pay the money for it. But I don't know. I just feel as though this one probably is going to fall kind of flat because, again, we're way away from the pandemic thing. And is there that little going on where this is going to be anything other than a sideshow, you know, a late, you know, entry into SportsCenter of, hey, look at what happened over here? I don't think so.
I think it's the streaming platforms now trying to get their content over to investors and to people that are going to pay that subscription fee. And frankly, those people that forget that they paid the subscription fee and just stay on. I think that's a almost a passive income way for them. And maybe this works. Maybe this generates some money, or maybe it's just a path to try and impress an NFL, an NHL, a Major League Baseball or something to cross over more. But all those big companies, those big promotions, they look like they're starting their own services separately. So, I mean, who knows what's going to be the outcome of this. But, hey, it's going to be a thing, I guess.
It's a new world. I mean, it's an absolute new world. I mean, look what's going on with the regional sports affiliates that are falling in Major League Baseball, having to go out and pick some of them up, like with the Padres and teams like that. And it's like, at some point, they're going to take it in-house. And they should. Then, probably after they take it in-house, they'll see how the new ESPN gimmick goes, or they'll see how something else goes, and then look to sell that off in the same way that WWE has. And that's going to be interesting, too, to see what happens, because now globally, they are basically owned by Netflix. You know, they sold themselves out to Netflix. So worldwide, the network's going to be going away. What happens here in the States? Do you sell the WWE network? Do you sell it like you did to Peacock? Or does Netflix just kind of take that? And what does it look like? What does it mean for guys like us who like old wrestling? Will there be the same portals that we have to watch old Mid-Atlantic or Mid-South or other things? I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how all that stuff shakes out, because one thing is for sure, they're not adding any of that stuff to it. No. The audience is not there for it like it is for shows like the premium live events are. So I have a lot of worry about what's going to be happening with all this streaming and all this stuff, because it's like what a lot of people say, keep your physical media, because you never know when a company in all of these changes that take place are just going to make it disappear.
I've still got two boxes full of wrestling DVDs from all companies and all eras, and I'm like, I'm going to sell these. Well, maybe I'll hang on to them a little longer.
Yeah, but I don't worry about the award-winning WWE Network. I have an award-winning Google Drive. I just worry about that.
Okay, we're with Mike Sempervivi here again. You can catch him on the wrestling news. Mike, some new announcer drama apparently in AEW. Also, Mike Santana leaving the company. Just a little more rumblings behind the scenes on this. Do you think this is anything that's going to be a major impact to the company at all, or are we kind of over that now?
Well, optics are always going to be a thing with AEW. You know, they're always going to be a thing with everybody. But, you know, when you have, you know, you can look at, for anything that's a positive, they signed Kazuchika Okada. Tokyo Sports goes and reports what they believe his salary to be, which to me was a shot directly at Japanese wrestling executives and just kind of the scene there, because I don't recall something like that ever happening with somebody coming over. Certainly didn't happen with Jay White, didn't happen with Will Ospreay, didn't happen with other people, but a number has been floated out there by Tokyo Sports. Why? Well, the, you know, effect of that here is I can't believe that they're spending $4.5 million a year on Okada. And so it's like, you can't win. Now,
do you think that's the real number though? Do you think that's the real
number? No, I don't. No, not at all. And Dave thinks it's lower. I can't say for sure. My gut says it's going to be lower than that, you know? So, yeah. But bottom line is, you know, then they're taking heat for that. Of how are they going to make that money back? You have Mercedes Moné, who hasn't even debuted there yet. The YouTube podcast where they took it out of the podcast, but they posted it to YouTube where she says, yeah, I know I'm going to be back there one day. It's like, it's an optics thing, yeah. You know, and this happening with Kevin Kelly and Ian Riccaboni, you know, I don't have much of a comment on it other than it's probably not going to be going away. In fact, I would very much bet that it's not going to be going away. So they're going to have to deal with that as well, too. So it's just one of those things. There is always something there. If you've been listening to the Wrestling Observer Live show, Brian this week, in the past couple of weeks, has really been on them about advertising. He's really been on them about the fact that people will show up and they are not sure of their direction. Yeah. People wonder why this person is here and that person is here if they don't want to be here. And there is a lot of that sort of stuff. There's a lot of that drama. And unfortunately for AEW, a lot of that makes its way out. For whatever reason that is, you know, it makes its way out a lot more than it does in WWE. And there seems to be a lot more of it with plenty of different groups of people all speaking their piece. But unfortunately, when they're leaking that out there, doing that in the media, it's just going to lead to more headaches and, unfortunately, a taking away of the product. I mean, one of the biggest problems that I have with them right now is the fact that, look, we're in WrestleMania season. WWE could not be getting any better media attention, which is bizarre under the Vince McMahon cloud circumstances that we're in. But it shows you what TKO can do. You see what the McAfee show and ESPN and people having people on the Today Show, this and that. Well, you just brought in Okada, Ospreay, and Moné. Mm-hmm. You've got to get them in the media. You have got to make people believe that these are big stars. You have got to get the people that you have. And granted, not all of them are great promos. Even Mercedes, not a great promo. Probably wouldn't be the first person I would pick to stick out there and go, this is the face of my company. Well, who is the face of the company? It's MJF. Well, he's gone right now. You were good at getting him his attention, and you were good at, when he was getting himself attention, latching onto that and building it up. Why are these people that you're just debuting not in the mix somewhere? Why are they not on TV? They've got to do more to drive home to the average wrestling fan, we have stars here that you need to pay attention to. And now more than ever, they need to do that, considering that where they are with how they are perceived, with how WWE is being perceived right now.
Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. It's going to be happening at Dynasty. Is this a match of the year in the making?
It certainly could be now, couldn't it? Yeah. It certainly could be. And they got a lot of those. And that's, you know, a lot of people are like, well, how can they make money back on Okada? I can tell you how, because they're expanding out their pay-per-view schedule.
Yeah.
They have people on the shelf. You're telling me that you wouldn't want to pay to see Okada against Ospreay, Okada against Danielson, Danielson against Ospreay. You know, you come on. There are too many good wrestlers in that company. There are too many things that you can do. You're telling me Takeshita and Ospreay won't be a thing that you want to see? We saw it. It was awesome. You sure you don't want to see that again? Okay, well, how about we see Okada and Takeshita one day? How about that? There are so many combinations, because Okada is such a good professional wrestler, that who could he not go out there and have a good match with? And because he has experience, to me, I think you're going to be able to do a lot more with him than Takeshita, because he's been at a higher level and been dealing at media at a higher level in Japan for quite some time. So I think he's going to fit in perfectly. And again, these guys are needed, because they need the bodies. And when you're expanding out your schedule, you need his money. Look, for AEW fans, they unfortunately, many of them, I'm just speaking in generalizations here, they don't want to be like WWE, and they don't want to have all the talking. They want to have these great matches. And there's a balance to be had there. But when it comes to their great matches, I mean, look at what they do on pay-per-view. This last one did 175,000 buys, possibly. Sure, that was because of Sting, but when you look at their other pay-per-views, they all do relatively well, too. And even if they lose some people, say they average 140,000, say they lose 40,000, where you're adding so many other pay-per-views with these big matches on them that people want to see, I don't think there's going to be an issue with getting to 100,000. And again, Okada, yes, there are storylines, there are stories, there are things that they need to fix. But as far as bell-to-bell in-ring goes, when you are able to rely on an Okada and Ospreay and throw them in there with anybody, I mean, that's being in a pretty good position to me.
Does Will Ospreay become AEW World Champion before the end of this year?
Yes.
Does it happen at All In?
Yes. Right. To me, that's it's one of those things where sometimes the simplest story in pro wrestling is the easiest one to tell. And you have time. I mean, again, you put in, if you're doing this properly, you have escape valves always built into everything as you go along in case somebody gets hurt, in case something happens, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So you can tell if you're building into August that this is not working, where you should do it sooner, or maybe you should wait. You know, because it's okay, MJF comes back, that changed the dynamic. Somebody else comes in, that changed the dynamic. Okay, maybe we should wait a little bit. You could do that as well, too. But it certainly seems right now, of course, we said this about Cody Rhodes last year at WrestleMania, but it certainly seems right now that we are in the countdown phase to get to Will Ospreay. And again, attitudes could change, fans could change, but if he continues to get this reaction, he continues to put on matches like he did against Takeshita, well, yeah, he's going to have to work on promos, obviously, take the cursing out of the game, all that sort of thing that a lot of guys from Japan especially, you know, have got to deal with coming over here. But, I mean, you tell me. What do you think? Because to me, it explains that Ospreay is probably going to do it.
I can't see anybody else right now with MJF out. There's nobody else I think that could make an impact as a newcomer in AEW bigger than Will Ospreay, as long as he is able to become relatable to the North American fans. And I'm not talking about the AEW diehards. I'm not talking about the UK automatic fans. I'm talking about the ones in North America that are the ones that are only putting 2,000-3,000 people in a building right now. If Will Ospreay can become the star that garners the attention of the fan that just wants to see cool wrestlers do cool things and think, hey, that's a cool guy I want to be, you know, that's where a Will Ospreay in my mind captures the imagination of a fan. And I've been saying it now, the countdown is on from how long until wrestling fans start calling each other bruv in North America.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be coming relatively soon here. Yeah, he said that against, you know, that's the tagline now of Will Ospreay. And, you know, Barry Bloom's got a lot to do with that, too. You know, he's their agents. You know, that was well touted, bringing them in. And that's what made people think that they were going to be coming to either AEW or WWE's, because Barry Bloom is representing them. Well, guess what, Barry? You need to work with AEW. You need to work with your guys to get out there and to make yourself stars. For anybody that's now lapsed from AEW because they went back to WWE, hey, we're still here. You know, you're missing this. You got to come back. You can still watch that, but come back over here. The hardest of hardcore WWE fans, it won't matter for them whatsoever. But, you know, give people a reason to get behind Ospreay and Okada other than they're just great wrestlers. You know, get them into doing things. Again, that's the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems they have. And AEW fans hate to hear that, but you do have to play to the mainstream. You do have to try to play to bring in new wrestling fans. You do have to try to play to drag over fans that are WWE fans who may be on the edge, or fans that may be looking to put their money elsewhere because, again, maybe they, again, all of these streaming services, TNA is $10 a month. You know, there's this, there's that. Sometimes the money runs out and you have to try to drag it out of their pockets. And that's what AEW is going to have to do. They have not been doing that when it comes to their ticket sales around the country. You know, that's been talked about ad nauseum, but again,
like it or hate it, there's the reason why Chris Jericho is still one of the biggest pictures on the poster. And that's because it's a face they recognized from 20 years ago.
That's exactly
that level of a star, right? So,
and that's the whole reason he was there. That's one of the big reasons that he was there and what gave them credibility. This is a guy that's been on Dancing with the Stars. He's written 4 books, I think, at this point. He's got a band. He's done these things.
Yeah.
So you ended up getting some of the benefits of that. Well, now it's time to build some of these other guys up the best way you can. Use some of your synergy in these other places and get them out there. Every NFL game, every NHL game, they got somebody from WWE there. That has got to be the same thing when it comes to AEW. And yeah, it is obnoxious. It's annoying. You get all that stuff, and I don't want to be on Good Morning America either, or this or that, but like, somebody's got to be, because somebody's got to get the word out for you.
We are out of time. I did want to speak about obnoxious with the new sponsorship logos in the ring, but we'll talk about that another time. I'm 50-50 on it. Like, I get business, I get money. It's just, it's always been a thing for me. But nevertheless, Mike Sempervivi, always great to have you on the show, pal. Thank you so much for making the time for us today. And again, if people want to follow you, the best way to do that is at Sempervivi on X, Twitter, and where else can we find you?
Definitely there. I got the Blue Sky Threads, IG, all that sort of stuff, but I never go on them. I'm still stuck on the Twitter /X machine. So you can find me there if I haven't blocked you, but you can just go to the Wrestling News every day. If I have blocked you, WrestlingNews.com, at Wrestling News AV on Facebook and Twitter, or the Arcadian Vanguard Twitter feed. They will put the show up there for you, so you can check it out there, as well as the Arcadian Vanguard YouTube page. You can check out Wrestling Observer Live every single day, Monday through Friday, through the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network and through F4WOnline.com, where you can find the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. And then I do a bunch of other things. Like I said, just stick to the Twitter. I'll let you know what's going on.
You never know. He could be right next to you right now. It's Mike Sempervivi. He is everywhere. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thanks, Mike.
Again, big thanks to Mike Sempervivi for being a part of the show this week. Don't go anywhere, though. A very fun chat with a legend, Savio Vega, going to be touring across Canada with CWE Canada. And we'll talk all about that and more with him next. We're back in a flash.
This is McGuire on Wrestling.
Hello from jolly old England. This is Andy Evans from the Squared Circle podcast, which you can listen to each and every week on McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed. If you would like to know the latest from professional wrestling with coverage of TNA, WWE, All Elite, New Japan, and more, plus in-depth look back at what happens on the days gone by, then check us out each and every week as part of your midweek fix. This is TSC, the Squared Circle.
Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
This is why I love talking about pro wrestling and getting the opportunity to do this show, is to interview and converse with people that I've grown up watching and still love watching to this day. We have a chance to do that right now. He's going to be touring across Canada with CWE Canada's Point to Prove Tour. Now, there's two stretches of this in the East in Ontario, March 17th through 25th. So a lot of chances for you to see him there throughout Ontario. And then in Western Canada, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta from April 27th to May 12th. Man, it's like you're doing the North American circuit again with CWE. It's the legendary Savio Vega. Hello, sir.
How you doing? Yes, it's going to be a tour that I never do a tour like this in a long, long time.
I think maybe the last time you did one across Canada like this might have been back in those WWF days when you were hitting the markets everywhere they went, because there were a lot of towns, kind of honestly, the ones that CWE are hitting these days. So,
in the 90s, yes, I was there with them, 94 to 99. And yes, I was doing a lot of Canada. Yes, love Canada,
I was at some of those shows in Alberta. That was the first time I saw Savio Vega live, was in Alberta doing some WWF house shows back in the day. And we'll talk about all that. But one of the more recent sightings that a lot of people had of you, of course, was on WWE's Backlash pay-per-view, a huge event for Puerto Rico, for Puerto Rican wrestling. I mean, take us to yourself in that moment there and just being part of this globally televised event again with WWE in 2023 at the time, and what that felt like for you, first of all.
Man, I feel great. The news after the pay-per-view, they mentioned was like a 40 million people watched that pay-per-view. And I mean, it was crazy. And now right there, WWE could see the potential of coming more often here to Puerto Rico and have Puerto Ricans involved in their show. You see the result, how the people react when they see Tio Savio Vega there in the show. The expectation about that, when Bad Bunny come on Raw with the candlestick saying "A mi manera o para calle," that's a word that I use here as a character when I was a heel here in Puerto Rico, and I'm still using it. we still working at IWA Puerto Rico. That's my company here. And so more or less, a mi manera para calle means my way or the highway. So when he come out with that in the candlestick, the first person that showed me the photo was my kid, one of my kids. And he said, "Dad, look at this." And I look and I said, "Wow, nice." You know, 3 minutes later, a bunch of friends send me a bunch of pictures. "Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that." Everybody start, you know, Bad Bunny come out with a candle. Say, "A mi manera para calle." You know, "You have to go there. You have to go there." So they start, they got excited, you know. They want me to be in the show. They are pushing me. "You got to go there. They have to call you. Yeah, you call Dave or do something." I say, "Hey, that's a private company. I don't work with them no more." So, they do whatever they do and what I can do right now, you know. And I said, "That's good because that give me a push." I say, you know, Bad Bunny coming on Raw with my word there is like, whoa. So already I know everything. I was part of the show already, but we have a secret, you know, we have a quiet. So the people, fans was, hysterical. "Call the WWE. Do you talk to them?" I said, "No, I don't know nothing about them. I don't know, you know." So finally, the day of the show come and I was there early. And, but the biggest pop was when I come out on the vignette with Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
When the fans there see me in the screenshot for the first time, that was the loudest one. That one was crazy. You know, I was like, wow. I was inside the dressing room, and look at this. One of the guys, the Mexican crew, says to me, "Let's go and see how the people react." I said, "Where I stay here in a dressing room, it's a TV there, monitor." So I put the TV there, you know, I put the volume don't work. The audio is still working.
Right.
So I hit every button there to see the fans. But brother, something happened there. I don't need the audio. Those walls was shaking, man. The people was so loud that you cannot hear me what I was talking to with Bad Bunny. You know, at one point you cannot hear what we're talking. And was so wow. I'm like, wow. I mean, of course, we know it's going to be a reaction, but that reaction went over the green wall, you know, big time. And then later with Carlitos come, when I come back, finally when they see me, I mean, they're already crazy there. They start sharing tea or sabio. You know, what's good, but very, very good. I'm happy with that. I was like, wow.
I loved it. And the great thing about being a fan and a follower as you get older is that you get to look further than what you grew up watching on TV. So when I was a kid, you know, all I knew of Savio Vega or Tio Savio Vega was what I saw on WWF TV. And, you know, I saw the storylines with Razor Ramon and Gold Dust, and then your feud with Steve Austin, which we'll talk about in a bit here, because I work with Bret Hart and his sons with Dungeon Wrestling now as well.
Nice.
And so we've talked about that time a lot, Bret and I, about that mid-90s and how a lot of it doesn't always get the recognition it deserves. But when I then went into who you are and who you were and then who you came back to be in Puerto Rico, and after watching that Backlash show, the first thing I said on our shows here was, I need to go to Puerto Rico to see live wrestling. I need to see you in your element. You know what I mean? Like, I will take that flight and go there and check it out, because, I mean, man, I wanted every show to be from Puerto Rico after that.
Yes.
When that show came up and that opportunity came up, for those that maybe don't know your history, I mean, you representing Puerto Rico was beyond a character. I mean, this was really a chance for you and the Boricuas, especially in the later 90s, to really shine a light for the worldwide audience to see what Puerto Rican wrestling was all about. Do you think that people are still familiar with Puerto Rico today, or is there still a lot they could learn to find out things about, like IWA and other promotions going on out there?
Yeah, it's a way to grow all the time, you know, and have new fans coming in. It's a new wave of fans all the time coming in. We just celebrate 25 years anniversary of the company. the IWA company. And I, a week out, 2 weeks after, I celebrate my 40 years in the business too, you know, right there at the same arena. So, I mean, that was great. The fans come down and you have to see the show. By the way, you could watch our show is every Saturday at noon. When the time change, we stay always in the same Eastern time. So when it's 11 o'clock in Eastern time, it's 12 o'clock my time. So every Saturday at noon is a new show on my YouTube channel, IWA Puerto Rico. You could go there and subscribe, IWA Puerto Rico, and you could see the wrestling, what we're doing in my company in Puerto Rico. You could see the new wrestlers. And, man, the fans are maybe losing a lot of action from Puerto Rico. We love it. And the fans got so involved into the matches, and you could hear that big fwa, you know, that you cannot hear nowhere, just in Puerto Rico. And, I mean, we love it. But, yeah, we still doing a lot of things. We have a show, the 16, here in Puerto Rico, but it's going to be in my hometown, and I'm going to be in Canada. So that's okay. I mean, we have more shows coming up. So happy with what is going on right now.
Keep them waiting. Keep them wanting more. That time you do the hometown show, you know it's going to be huge. So,
oh, yeah. Yes.
That's tremendous. For those fans that, again, like me, grew up in the 90s, especially watching you and your cohorts, wrestling today is so different. It's so popular now. I mean, wrestling was always kind of the thing that in North America, if you were a fan and you liked it, you loved it, but everybody else that wasn't following it didn't quite get it as much. What's it like in Puerto Rico for wrestling? Like, how is wrestling revered among people who maybe aren't regular fans? Or are there many people like that? Because I don't know. It seemed to me like everybody in Puerto Rico was a huge wrestling fan when I saw those shows.
Well, you know what happened here in Puerto Rico? The people grow up watching wrestling. The only dot or red dot or any colored color you want to put was wrestling here in Puerto Rico, because that was televised. I mean, you have maybe local basketball, local baseball, more of that. But wrestling was a huge big time here in Puerto Rico, because it was the old WWC or Capital Sport promotion with Carlos Colon promotion. Mm-hmm. And that was the only calling professional wrestling. Was another big time wrestling, you know, small companies around, of course, but that one was televised. So you have Abdullah the Butcher, you have Ric Flair coming, the Terry Funk, Dory Funk. I mean, you name all the wrestlers from the States in that time, the 70s and 80s, all those people come down here. So wrestling is a big time promotion still alive here in Puerto Rico. Now Capitol still running shows. Us, we still running show. We keep the good work inside the ring. So, yes, Puerto Rico is a big, huge fan. So, WWE coming, and they have a local television here, plus what they watch in Monday Night Raw. I mean, it's a huge – Puerto Rico still a big fan's territory.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was definitely indicated from what the rest of the world got to see from that show. And definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel for IWA. We'll send a link up with this post as well. But it's, again, something that, you know, when I see you here, when you get to the Alberta leg of things, I'll be at that show and have 1,000 questions to ask you about Puerto Rico and just your coming up, because I've become such a huge fan of that scene in particular ever since that show and honestly just growing up before. So.
Without me knowing, I have a good history with Canada, because when I start with the professional wrestling with the Carlos Colon company, my first match as a tag team there. I mean, they did TV, and I do two matches on television, and was one of them was with Smith Hart as a tag team here in Puerto Rico. Do you know the Bret Hart star here in Puerto Rico, in Ponce, Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
You know, and me as a character, as Quang, Bret and me, a match that we did on Monday Night Raw, broke ratings of that week with that match, you know. And, man, a story with my brother, Owen Hart. I mean, the British Bulldog, of course, it's British, but he's more Canadian. His wife is Canadian, and his kids. And brother, I mean, love Canada, to be honest. And I have a little history with Canada, and man, I love it.
Well, like I said, the first time I saw Savio Vega was at a show in Red Deer, Alberta. And I know you've been all across Canada a few times, but
yeah,
you brought up Owen's name when the split between Brett and WWF happened and Brett and Davey Boy and Jim went over to WCW. You actually were one of the first opponents for Owen when Owen was doing his Blackheart thing after coming back. And I mean, you and Owen had had some great matches before as well, because I think you both had a very similar, you had that great aerial style. And even when you bring up the Quang character, when you're doing the more martial arts based stuff, can you share maybe a favorite Owen story with us? If you have one for us, just give us maybe some memories of your time with him.
I mean, the first time I met Owen was in Japan. I went for Inoki's office, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And one of the Japanese guys, I met it there. I asked him to take me somewhere. I forgot where. And so we will just get out of the hotel, walking down the block, and here come Owen. And he with his wife, Martha. Mm-hmm. And that's when he's the guy said, "This is Owen Hart." I recognize him right away. He's blonde, and you got all the Japanese with black hair.
Yeah.
And I, of course, on the posters, I saw him. That was the first time I met him, right there on the street. We talked just 1 second, how you doing? Shake hands, whatever. See you later. Boom, that's it. And then in a tour, of course, we talk here and there a little bit.
Yeah.
Till I see him in WWF in the 90s, by that time. So we have the chance to work many, many times. And like you say, we have good matches. Why? Because it's like what happened with Stone Cold Steve Austin, what happened with Dustin and all the rest of the guys that are work. Mm-hmm. We study the same book.
Yeah.
We study the same book. We don't have all the different books or whatever, the what happened in these days. Do you know is more guys hurt in the past, say 20 years than the first 50 of wrestling?
Oh, I don't doubt it. It's a crazy, crazy world out there. But I think what you're saying is that you guys basically stuck to the fundamentals and kept things basic, but at the same time knew how to keep it simple, but keep it interesting.
Oh yeah. I mean, you work for the fans. Mm-hmm. You don't work for you. I mean, because I know I need to do this, I need to do that. I said, let's go home. No, I need to do this. No, you don't need to do it. We have the people in where we want it. I mean, they already pay for that match, and let's do what we need to do. Let's entertain those fans. And that's what I like to do that, to entertain the fans. I want to go out there and I want those fans to scream, to get up from the seats if it's possible with what I'm doing inside the ring. So that's what I'm going to do. Canada, be ready, because Tio Savio Vega is coming.
Well, again, those shows are going to be happening across Canada in Ontario coming up right away, March 17th through the 25th. And then later on, spring going into summer, April 27th through May 12th, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta.
Yeah, but I just have a little problem there.
Oh.
Because I'm coming with weather of 80, and I go into a weather of 19, 10, whatever.
Hey, man.
Oh.
You took the booking. You took the. I don't know what to tell you.
And I mean, of course, experience teach you that. Every time I go somewhere, I check the weather all the time to see if it's raining or it's cold or whatever. And man, the other day I said to myself, I need to buy a coat. Because I have just a regular jeans jacket. I said, no, I cannot go with this. So I almost buy it. But something happened that the person that picked me up was super late, so I said, let's go to the show. Then later I was thinking at home, I'm like, I think I have one coat. And I went to the closet, and yes, I have one, it's the right one. I have it right there.
That's good. That's good.
Bring it for sure. Of course, my friend.
When you talked about some of those matches, some of those opponents, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up again, only because, I mean, Brett in his bar in Calgary has the little piece of razor blade from his match against Stone Cold Steve Austin WrestleMania 13 that was argued as the defining moment of Steve Austin's big progression. But I often argue that Stone Cold Steve Austin wouldn't have been as big of a success if he wasn't married to Savio Vega on the road for about a year as they were doing these matches everywhere. Because, I mean, you really helped him, I think, elevate himself in that company. So what does it feel like to be such a part? Or do you have any specific memories of working with Steve and maybe things you were trying to help him out with as his star was rising?
Well, you know what? After I left the company, you know, I have, you know, later more time to digest what happened there and see what, you know, what's going on, why we have such a good chemistry in the ring since the first tryout match. And I come up with the same answer that I tell you before. We study the same book. I mean, I was just local. The only time the company sent me out of Puerto Rico was to Louisiana 4 months, then Mexico for 4 months too. And I started the character TNT here in Puerto Rico. So, I mean, soon as I start, they give me this push as a heel because they're looking for, you know, make a good house show. And the year later, I was a babyface. So they have me like, come on, let's go right away. I mean, they don't have the time to build it great and strong. They want to do it right away. So that was my path in that company. So in that way, when I start and I come up with the TNT character, brother, I work with all these old timers coming from the States.
Yeah.
You got Alpha, Sika, Dory Funk, Terry Funk, you name it. You could name names. I say, yes, I work with that person. So I learned the timing in the ring with these people. And so when I went to WWE now, I started as a Kwan. I have a coach with me all the time, watching my matches and telling me, easy now, you do this. That was Mr. Fuji. Fuji was, oh yes, Fuji was with me because when I started in the company, I was with Yokozuna in Japan, with Fatu, Bam Bam Bigelow. I was with all those guys there. Worked with Razor Ramon many times. He's the one getting me in the company, Scott Hall, you know? So when I come to WWF in that time, and I was traveling with Yoko, Fuji. So Fuji said, I want to watch your matches. I said, okay. So I was there as a Kwan, and he was right there putting ice in his knee and watch my matches. Soon I come back, he just, come on. Sit down next to him, and he started coaching me, talk to me. Next day, let's see the match. And he was right there. Every night, I go to the ring, he's watching my matches. Till one day, he say, you got it. I said, you got it. You got the timing. I said, okay, good. Because what's a different timing to work in that company compared with the one in Puerto Rico or anywhere else, you know? So he said, you got it. I said, good. So I started doing my stuff there. Here come Pat Patterson in San Antonio, Texas, and says, Savio, soon I arrive, I check the list. He says, Savio, I have dark matches against Steve Austin. And here come Pat and says, Savio, this is Steve. Steve, this is Savio. You're going to work with him. He's doing a tryout. Let me know what's going on. So I say, okay, no problem. So I was lacing my boots, and I said to Steve, brother, I don't know you. You don't know me. So let's call that in the ring. My finish is a spinning kick. He said, okay, that's it. That's what we talk. Inside the ring, my friend, we have we are the first match of the night opening the show. And we have the fans going crazy with that match.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. So, of course, they know Steve in San Antonio. I don't know that. You know, so he was working in San Antonio so many times, you know, I don't know, Dallas, Houston, whatever, Louisiana, all that area, Atlanta. So he was studying the same book, and I was studying the same book in Puerto Rico. So when we got together, boom, chemistry come up. Here come Pat Patterson after, you know, we finish the match. I'm in the back. And I just waiting for Steve. Steve arrived and shake his hand and said, brother, thank you. What a match. Mm-hmm. You know, what a match. And here come Pat yelling, Savio! Savio! You say, he asked me, tell me, how is the match? I said, do you see it? He say, yes. I said, you tell me. Yeah. You know, that's when he say, was a great match. I say, I know, was good. He say, tomorrow you guys working again. So I say, okay. So we don't know that that first match was the first of many, many matches. I mean, we did, well, they put us in a pay-per-view for the WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was going to say, WrestleMania 12, you guys took that match all the way there. That was crazy.
Yeah. The Caribbean Strong match was another pay-per-view that we did. I mean, they married us for almost a year, I believe, or maybe more. I don't know. But we have good matches between Steve and me.
Well, I know Steve has said the same thing in interviews and in conversations that without that time with you, he probably wouldn't have gotten through the first year as easily as he did. So, I mean, that's a huge credit to you and your contributions. But like you said, it's different environments all the time. It's different opportunities to learn as you come up. Now you're on these tours, you're on these shows with CWE across Canada. You get to work with these younger guys. And I'm sure you do this in various places across North America and around the world still. What are some of the questions that you find are being the same ones that younger wrestlers are coming to you with, and what are they asking you for advice on the most?
I see potential when I see a person, and I like to watch the matches because I have a company here in Puerto Rico, and I love to have, you know, new talent all the time too. Mm-hmm. And I love to watch it because, like Fuji did to me and other old timers did to me here in Puerto Rico, I like to help the guys, you know. I like to see them grow, and, you know, see them. If I see a mistake, I mean, don't do that. Do this, you know, instead. What about if you try this way? Try the other way. You know, I like to coach the guys. I don't know. It's something in me. Of course, I mean, I will help anybody there if it's, they need it. It's something that I don't know. It's natural, the teaching in myself. Plus, like I say, coming from some coaching here in Puerto Rico, some coaching from Fuji there. Let's see what these guys, that new breed have there. I believe if they are in that tour, is because they are good. So like the name of the show, what is it?
Point to Prove. Yeah.
Ooh, so Point to Prove. Let's see what's going on there. Let's see who's the talent there, you know. I don't know the talent, to be honest, right now at this moment. But let's see what the package bring.
Well, the cool thing about these tours, and I give Danny credit for this all the time, is that he will rotate the talent through. So you won't be working the same match all the time. And so every wrestler will get a different opportunity. So they'll get to learn from you as well. And you'll get to see what they're about. But I mean, he does bring a wide variety of wrestlers. You know, it's like somebody once said, nice. You can't have the same thing on the menu every night, right? You have to have different things out there. Yeah. So I think you'll enjoy your time here.
One good thing here is that the territory is so big, you know. Here in Puerto Rico, we wrestle sometimes 4 or 5 times a week.
Oh, man.
And the territory is so short. I mean, you have sometimes fans follow you everywhere.
Every show.
When we wrestle IWA, of course, WCW too, here in Puerto Rico, what's it called? We have to change everything every night. Yeah. I mean, that make you think in different stories all the time, something different, and make you smart right away to pick up and do things that the fans don't know. I mean, you have to be wise all the time. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't try that. Don't do that again. Don't even, oh, my God, spots. Change this. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, you know what? again, I can't wait to see you coming up on the Alberta leg of the tour, but tons of opportunities if Canada wants to meet the legend, Tio Savio Vega, TNT, El Hombre Dinamita, if you want to even go there, you know, we can, you know, we can go through the whole list here. But most importantly, I want to thank you for taking the time just to give us a little update on how you're doing. And obviously, again, follow that IWA Puerto Rico YouTube channel, watch the shows. It's always great to see wrestling from everywhere. Wrestling's never been, I think, more accessible and more popular. Maybe not to the numbers of it was in the mainstream, but I think the people that want to find wrestling now, they can find whatever they want. And that's a great thing.
Everywhere. So many companies around, you know, and so many talent. The only thing many of these talent need is guiding. You know, sometimes they think they know everything. Some of the teachers, you know, the teach these guys, like I say, coming coughing and limping. So, and when the student come out, is coming the same way. Especially the attitude. We don't need attitudes in the ring. You need people that are humble, willing to learn, willing to teach, willing to have the best match of the night. That's what the kids have. You know, they need to bring that to the ring. You know, work to be the best match of the night. Know how I'm gonna look only. No, no. Get the people up. Get the people, the fans up. Don't kill yourself, please. You don't have to do crazy move to get the people up. I never do a crazy move, you know, to get the people out of the seats. It's just the right way and the right time. That's what you need to do. Here in Puerto Rico, we're working on that with my crew, my wrestling crew. And all the time, we are adjusting bolts all the time, all the time. Every second that I have the chance and to see and watch matches, if I don't see it right there live, I watch it later on pre-post. But I like to see it right there because when that finished, I just call them in the back and talk to them. But then when that happened, I missed the other one. So, you know, that's what I like to try to watch all the matches if it's possible. But sometimes then I need to go and do my match too. And you go so tired and you go so, you know, full of many, many things in your head. I learn how to digest that. You know, I need to do this and this different files, different guys, a different file. So you know who's who. And this is like a dad in home. You know who's who in your house. You know who's
you know what
kids.
One kid's gonna act like versus the other. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know that smell at 3 miles away, you know, when they're coming in, you're like, oh, something happened here. What's going on? And, you know, man, I mean, so many times in this business that you know who's who. And when you pick those guys to work with you, of course, it's because they feel the attitude that you want. Yeah. So, you know, already more of what they think they know. You know more about that, you know, so. I have a great crew. I'm happy, to be honest, happy to have the crew that I have. I mean, when I say crew, I'm talking from the top to the bottom. Ring crew, thickest crew, wrestlers, referees, vendors. I mean, because what I the experience that I come from the 1999 when we opened IWA here in Puerto Rico is how to be a friend of you guys. Don't be an ass, you know. I'm working with them and anything they need or something happened to them, I'm the first there watching, asking what's going on, and fixed. If it's a problem, let's fix it, you know. It's no problem. Yeah. It's just experiences, you know.
Wrestling can be a competitive environment, but you can still be trustworthy of each other, right? Like you can still trust that the job needs to be done, so we all got to work together on that.
I'm gonna be in that tour, so they know what to do. Teach them how to work without me, you know, and have my supervisors. I have people that in charge of every department, you know, and they know what to do. So the only thing I call, or if they have a question, they ask me right away. You know, but they know what I mean. I train them to do without me. So, I mean, they are great, man, to be honest. I'm happy for that crew. Well, and listen, You think that you said that I'm doing, I bring my new toy.
Hey, look at that.
That's my new toy. So, you know, all the fans that want to have my toy are going to have it there. I'm probably not going to try, you know, I'm going to try to bring many I can, but, you know, I need room for my clothing. So
you text me. We'll get you some out here. We'll figure out a way to get them here
right.
for you. You know what I mean?
Right there. And this is a version, and we're working in a version with the Puerto Rican flag.
The official Grapplers and Gimmicks line. Yeah, those figures are fantastic. Yeah. So you know what? We'll talk. I'll send you a line here. We'll get some up here for those shows. But most importantly, Savio Vega, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for taking the time to join us here. And I can't wait to see you in Medicine Hat. That's the show I'll be at. I'll be ring announcing that one, I believe, as well. And I'm going to try. We'll see how well we do. I might try and get the crowd to get in on the,
We got to get over. We got it. Every punch, every kick, you're going to see, you're going to hear that. I mean, that's very important. And the people, please. Check my YouTube channel, IWA Puerto Rico. Put it in a loop or put it on the bar right there, IWA Puerto Rico, and subscribe. You're going to see. And of course, the voiceover is in Spanish, but you could put the clock caption, and it's in English. So you can understand what's going on. Yeah. YouTube, you could go there, clock caption, and choose your language. You put it right there, and you're going to read. Yeah.
You know, if you ever need an English commentary guy, that's what I happen to do as well. So, I mean, we can talk about that. But, Tio Savio Vega, greatly appreciate the opportunity again. See Savio live across Canada coming up through March, April, and May. CWECanada.ca. An absolute pleasure, sir.
Thank you. God bless you. And remember, this is for the Spanish people. A la gente que nos está viendo ahora, voy a estar con CWE en la compañía. En Canadá, vamos a estar en Ontario, vamos a estar haciendo lucha libre de la buena. Así que todos son hispanos, sea de donde sea, hablas español, me entiendes lo que estoy diciendo, los vamos a esperar. Así que busca CWE, Canadian Wrestling Elite. So, Tío Savio Vega va a estar allí en la casa y las cosas allí van a ser a mi manera o para la calle. You understand that?
I took Spanish in university. I got about 80% of that. Yeah. So.
Nice. Beautiful. Yeah, so.
I'm just going to end it with, wah!
Yes. See you there, man.
McGuire on Wrestling.
I might have sounded like a bit of a nerd there, and that's okay. We're all kind of nerds for this thing called pro wrestling, and you could hear the energy and enthusiasm in Savio Vega's voice. I loved having him on the show, and dude likes to talk. These old school wrestlers, man, you get them going, and they just don't stop, right? So to have him on, to talk about his excitement, go see this guy. If he's coming to a town near you, go to CWE Canada. If you find them on Facebook or you find them on Eventbrite, that's where you can get those tickets. A reminder to Calgary Dungeon Wrestling coming up on March 29th. But we're not quite done yet. Not quite done with the show. I do want to thank you again for being here and listening and supporting. And again, if you can leave a 5-star review, leave a comment wherever you get your podcast, that helps us grow even more. And it's shows like this that just make it so much fun. A guy like Sempervivi, a guy like Savio, both fantastic people. And some other things are in the works. In fact, I was talking to an old friend of mine, and we're working on something new for the feed. And again, it ain't going to cost you nothing. We're just going to keep adding and adding, but we're also going to keep in mind that you have a life. You have things to do. So normally episodes aren't as supersized as today has been, but there were some things that came up on the Team MOW McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page that I wanted to talk about because, frankly, you guys are all talking about it as well, and it's all fantastic stuff. First one is a comment that came from our friend Joe Aguinaldo, actually, who was saying, is anyone not really into Cody Seth versus Rock and Roman? And opinions vary there right now. I think we're still at the point where we've got a lot of time before that match happens, but some people are really into it. Some people are kind of meh about it, and that's fine. Jake Alinar, Jake from the Windy Cities, he's known among these podcast circles, says that he loved the idea of sponsors being on the mat for the WWE ring going forward. He says he's actually surprised it's the one thing that Vince put the foot down on in the past with a clean ring, even though he loves his sponsorships. Well, you know what? It is a different time. Here's where I stand on the thing, because Jake asked for my opinion on here, so I'll share it with you. But there's a ton of great opinions on here as well. Some people love it. Some people not so much. I'm 50-50 on it. And the reason why is because unlike boxing, unlike MMA, and really unlike a lot of combative sports, the pro wrestling ring to me has always been, well, literally, and in this case, interpretively, a canvas. And when you have sponsorships and you have big, obnoxious, multicolor logos all over the thing, to me, it kind of takes away from the overall feel of the drama around it. I compare it to going to a live theater show. And just as the actors are about to come out and do their thing, and you have the sets and you have the pieces and everything all around there, on the floor of the stage, especially if you're sitting high enough to see it, there's like a giant Snickers bar or something embossed on the stage. It would take away even a little bit from the drama you're watching around it. And because we know this is entertainment, because we know we're watching something that's supposed to really let us feed our emotions into it, I think it makes it just a slight bit, I mean a very slight bit more of a challenge for the wrestlers to have us invest mentally into it. And again, this is just my perception of it. Guys, I work in radio. I work in advertising. We run, you know, programmatic ads on this thing. I get advertising and I get revenue and I get all that sort of stuff. It's just that one thing where I've always viewed the wrestling ring as a bit of a stage more than just a fighting or a performing surface, whatever you want to call it. But again, this is the world we're in. Everything and everyone is up for sale, up for grabs. So if they're making a good amount of coin on it, that's what investors want to see. That's what's going to get the stock up, and that's what they're going to count on. So Logan Paul either wants to spend some money or help them save some money on his contract. Whatever it is, they've done a deal with Prime. It's going to be on the ring for the PLEs. We know that for now. We'll see how long it lasts. I always liked it when they did the special embossment on the ring for pay-per-view events. Like WCW would do that, and then they would have, you know, Snicker bars or whatever in the corners. But they always did a great job of having the event logo in the middle of the ring. I've loved that forever. WrestleMania 12 is still the only WrestleMania they ever did that for, where they did just a slightly different tone of blue for the WrestleMania 12 logo versus the regular blue canvas they have. And I love that. I wish they would have done that for every WrestleMania. But again, it's all personal preference. Do I think it takes away greatly? No. Do I think it takes away a little bit? Yeah, just a little bit. We want to think outside of our real world sometimes when we watch pro wrestling. I think Curtis Heckenleibel said that as a comment under the post on the Team MOW Facebook page as well. Something we didn't really touch on in the five count, only because I think everybody has heard about it by now, and that is the latest nominees that are being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. The first big one was Paul Heyman being announced this week. I think that came as a surprise to some, and maybe not so much to others. Could this be Paul's last year as an on-screen performer? I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, they've had a lot of Hall of Famers come back through the years and still be on TV, and that's how they introduced them. But again, it's pro wrestling. And we never know who's going to go, who's going to come back. I'm excited to see Bull Nakano be inducted. I hope she gets some time. I hope that Medusa / Alundra Blaze is the one who is inducting her. I can't think of anybody else they would have do it there. By the way, if you haven't seen Bull since the 90s, she looks totally different. She went on and had a successful golf career. And the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, this is a great, great thing. And I question some people that are asking, you know, oh, are they doing this so that Rotunda can get into the Hall of Fame because, you know, we lost Bray? I don't know if that's the only reason why. And that's only because if you weren't watching wrestling back in the time when the U.S. Express was a thing, no, they weren't a major force in the tag team world, but they were definitely, I mean, two of the best ever. Barry Windham alone, he's already got some rings, right? Whatever. This is a chance for Rotunda to get in the Hall of Fame. Do we think IRS could go in? Maybe. Do you think Mike Rotunda on his own could go in? Probably. But I think that having the U.S. Express goes in is a high point of Rotunda's career for sure. Doesn't hurt Windham. They do have the connection together between Bray. I mean, that's how tight these guys were. I mean, Mike named his son after the guy. I mean, that's, if you need any idea of a level of friendship, that's far and beyond. But I also think that if you go back and look at how popular the U.S. Express was, need I remind you that Hulk Hogan's Real American theme was originally intended for the U.S. Express. That was how I learned that back in the day as a kid, was having that WrestleMania album. So when you think that Real American, this iconic piece of music, the only guy that could take it from these guys was the biggest star in the company. Okay. And the idea of poo-pooing people who get into the WWE Hall of Fame, it's a slogan we live by here. Just like liking things. Okay, if it's not for you, the next one will be. And if you get that hot about it, trust me, there's tons of other wrestling for you to watch. We try and talk about it as much as we can here, but our time to talk has come and gone for another week. I can't thank you enough for being a part of the podcast and invite you to continue to be a part of it. Thank you to those who have been emailing and DMing support. Thank you to those who have been picking up shirts. We sold a few more this week, so that was pretty cool. Again, McGuireShow.com if you want to check those out. If you have any ideas for podcasts, for merch, anything you want to do, fire me a line, McGuireShow@yahoo.com, at McGuireShow on the socials, and reach out to all the other hosts as well at the Team MOW McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page. All right, I'm done. Chill, chill, chill. Plug, plug, plug. Until next week, as always, thank you for listening and letting me do what I do. Play safe. Drive safe. I'll be seeing you.